The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Garniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
How much you can pay?
And his partner, Feta Tap End of Stevenson.
From Mick Echo City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. No, I am not Rab Florence. I am producer John, taking over presenting duties in Rab's absence because he has a sore throat. He's in auditions for Orphans. Tickets still available to see Rab singing. So he's been singing a lot. It's a bit like the X Factor. He's on voice rest, so he can't speak, but he will be back next week. However, I am joined by, I'm going to give you the big Finn Balor intro here. Grado, you ready for this? Right, okay. He is a one-time DDT pro wrestling champion. He is a Reckless Intent wrestling heavyweight champion. He is a two-time SWA tag team champion with as Grant Dunbar. He is an SWE heavyweight champion. He's a Swiss tag team champion with Pascal Splatter. He's a Target Wrestling champion. He's a PBW tag team champion. He's a Pro Wrestling Elite PWE heavyweight champion. PW Illustrated ranked him as 293 in the top 500 single wrestlers in 2016. He is a World of Sport champion one time. He is a World of Sport tag team champion. And of course, a one-time ICW tag team champion with Colt Cabana, a one-time ICW heavyweight champion. It is the one, the only, the Stevenson Dream, Grado.
All right, mate, how are you saying? What are you saying to it, John?
After that build-up and everything, you're just
Pascal Splatter?
Pascal Splatter? This is what's on your Wikipedia.
Pascal Splatter.
Swiss Wrestling Entertainment, SWET Tag Team Champion with Pascal Splatter.
That's right, Pascal Splatter. The only thing I can remember about being in Switzerland was asking for a pepperoni pizza and it came out and it was just a pizza with hundreds of peppers on it. They didn't understand what I meant. That's the only thing I can take for wrestling in Switzerland.
Right, but you were a tag team champion over in Switzerland.
I think I must still be. They must have, or at least they've stripped me because I never went back.
Pascal was sitting there like, where's he going?
I've left them fucking.
Didn't even get a blow for big Pascal.
Pascal got bombed out after one night.
I wonder what Pascal's doing with himself these days. Do you remember working with him?
I couldn't even tell what he looks like.
Right, brilliant. So, Grego is actually the current SWE tag team champion, unless someone can prove otherwise. Someone please tweet the show. Let us know if Pascal Splatter's up to it. We'd love to know what the big man's doing.
They're running next week.
Here's Pascal Splatter.
Hello, Grado.
Do you remember me? I don't know. That's not how they speak in Switzerland.
I don't even remember. I actually remember being in Switzerland. Do you know who was there as well? Ezekiel Jackson. I spent the weekend with Ezekiel Jackson.
Really?
He was there that weekend.
In Switzerland, you spent a weekend in Switzerland with Ezekiel Jackson and Pascal Splatter.
Me, Pascal, and Ezekiel Jackson, and a wrestler who's now cancelled that I won't name.
Right, brilliant. Do we guess?
No, don't guess. Right, don't guess. But it wasn't the guy that won the DDT title. I thought it was a different guy. There's a couple of folk in there that I beat that are then probably no longer able to say their names on podcast, which is quite sad, actually, isn't it?
You can't even say their name. Do you get away with saying names of people that are cancelled? Or is there a cool-off period?
But then you've got the argument of the cancelled and the no-cancelled and stuff like that.
I know. Let's not get into it.
What are you up to, John? How's Storm Dudley? As I say, my favourite tag team.
It's blown a hooly. Blown a hooly outside, I tell you.
It's worse down here, obviously, because of the Ayrshire coast and such like. But I'm here, John. I'm ready for... I mean, Christ knows, we were just talking before we came on here. We've got a bit of an interview tonight.
We spoke
about it last week, but it's definitely happening. He's going to be coming on the podcast in 20 minutes. And we were just talking. Anytime we've got an interview lined up, Rab ends up dogging the podcast, didn't he?
He missed Jarrett, he missed Cole, he missed Lanny Poffo. So it's like, he keeps missing it. I don't know if it's intentional or if it's just coincidence. Maybe it's just...
I don't know. I don't know if he thinks sometimes when I get wrestlers on, it might be awkward. Is that a reasonable thing you think?
But this guy...
Here's my pal, Rab. Rab, listen, this is funny. do you know what I mean? Hey, tell Rab the story. Let's tell him about that. You know, that can be quite a wee bit kind of...
He's all right. I don't know. I think it's just coincidence. But this guy we've got coming on tonight seems fascinating. He's worked with Vince, like, as a business person. Do you know what I mean? So we're going to get... I've got so many questions. So many questions. I want to find out what Vince is like as a man. Because I mean, Grado... I guess you've worked with people who have worked with Vince, so you'll have a kind of rough idea. But this guy was his kind of with him there and then, you know, going to all the business meetings with him. So you want to know we're going to get a real insight, I think, into Vince and the business.
As you say, we probably get to hear stories about Vince when it comes to the wrestling side, but this boy has been all over the world. Apparently he's been to Thailand and India and everywhere. Yeah. We're with McMahon selling the WWE to countries and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to find out. I don't know if it was just solely UK he dealt with, because he is from London. He reminds me, I mean, I don't know if you'll listen to this back, but my first thought when because I just looked him up on YouTube, his name's Dominic Hayes. My first thought was, what do you call him? Italian in Dragon's Den.
Peter Jones.
He's got the kind of Peter Jones vibes about him, so we'll see how he gets on with fucking us two.
No, we'll wait and see. Hey, listen, before we'll get into it in the buddies and put overs, but a couple of big wrestling stories happening this week. First of all, breaking today. Now, I don't know if you've heard this, Grado. Stone Cold for WrestleMania.
Has it been confirmed?
It's not been confirmed, but there's a lot of hot rumours that Stone Cold could make a in-ring return at WrestleMania.
I mean, I don't see it. Do you see that happening?
I don't think I want to see it, if I'm honest.
I know what you mean. Like, I would even say up to about 5 years ago, I probably would have wanted it. But it's getting to that. What age is he now? I can't see him agreeing to it now after all the opportunities, all the wrestlers that have came up through the years and have teased it. They teased it with Punk. Did they not tease it even after Austin retired? They teased it with him as well. And I just think, well, what's he going to come back for now? Who would he wrestle? I don't know. I mean, the first thing I mean, not that he would be in as bad a nick as what old Brett was, poor Brett, in 2010. But you know what I mean?
Stone Cold, you see him on the podcast, he still looks great.
Oh, he's in great nick. He isn't good in it,
but do you put him in against Brock?
Well, there is. I mean, did they actually ever have that match?
I don't know. No, they did not. They did not. So,
we'll see what happens. But I mean, I spoke about this last week. At least, even up to last year, there was something that you wanted to watch on WrestleMania, but I feel as if everything's just been done to death, man. Roman and Brock and Seth Rollins and change the tune, man. There's nothing... The only thing that I'm now interested in, there is the Austin thing, but the Cody Rhodes stuff.
Well, that's the other big story. Obviously, the news broke at the start of the week that he'd left AEW. I mean, everyone was suddenly, is it a work? Is it a shoot? Oh, it's got to be a work. It definitely looks like it's a shoot now. He's put out a statement. Tony Khan's put out a statement. All sorts of rumours that he's going to be signing for the WWE. As far as I'm aware, he doesn't have a non-compete as well, so I think he can go straight in as soon as he
could be there next
won.
Monday. Could be there as early as next Monday.
I mean,
I think what's interesting about it is we've now got the first person
going the other way.
Aye. And that excites me.
I think it does. It does, aye.
Because it's all been the other way about. And as I said last week, and I'm sure I looked at the notes there and somebody agreed with me about the surprises and people showing up. I think it's got to, they've went too far with the amount of people that they've got coming up and debuting. And there's only so many that you can, there's only so many debuts and jump the ships that you can go, that's cool. Because we've seen them all now. Now it will start to get interesting to see who would make the jump out to WWE. That would make it interesting. It'd be interesting to see how Vince uses Cody Rhodes. Is he going to be main event? Is he? Because the rumours are that he's offered them big money.
Well, I mean, the reason that the rumours are, the rumours and innuendo say that he left.
That's a lot to unpack, John.
He says that he left AEW. I think the dynamic changed when they brought in the likes of Punk and Danielson, because I don't think Tony Khan's going to give him the money. And Cody, you know, he's been there from day dot, and he probably deserves to be on the Punk and the Danielson money. But I don't think Tony Khan was going to go that far with him.
I think Tony Khan's probably getting a bit pissed off, or at least fed up. See the thing with Cody Rhodes?
Aye.
Right? I love watching him wrestle. He's probably the best matches I've seen in AEW.
Dustin Cody Rhodes right. is incredible.
Tremendous. But see half the shite that's on Dynamite that involves him is brutal. Aye. And you're watching it going, he's booked this, he's wrote it, it's all his ideas. There's maybe a wee bit of something Tony Khan was like, ah, right, we've got rid of him, let's concentrate, and I'll be in charge, this is what we're going to do, and we don't have Cody saying, well, I want to do this. I feel as if there was maybe a bit of separation between Cody and the rest of the EVPs. God, I'm getting right into my wrestling.
Oh, I'm impressed by this, I'm loving it.
Do you know what I mean? Do you get what I mean by that? He's probably a bit fucking pissed off watching Cody come out in his promos and love me, and I haven't watched any of it, but apparently the reactions are...
I thought it was going to be the best, like, heel turn ever. I thought it was going to... Honestly, I thought they were building this character because it was like the Patriot. You wouldn't have seen it. What do you call it on Amazon Prime where it's the Patriot?
Wilkes?
What's that? No. It's oh God, the boys on Amazon Prime, and there's a superhero called the Patriot and stuff, and he's like a baddie, but he's a goodie thing. And I thought they were building it that way, and it was going to be a great heel turn to the point that, you know, because he said he wouldn't challenge for the heavyweight championship when he lost that match, and then I thought it was going to build to that. But I mean, then it's gone. Now my question is, if he turns up in WWE, though, does he turn up as a heel or a face? I think he could be a monster heel in WWE.
Well, I don't know, because right at the start, I mean, the fans all know who he is. I mean,
so he'll get the pop. He'll get the babyface pop when he comes in.
Aye, but I don't know. You're probably right. He probably is a better heel.
Yeah.
I don't know, mate. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting who's going to fight at WrestleMania. Who would you want to see him wrestle?
I think the obvious program for me is going in at Randy Orton.
Right.
I think that's a really obvious program to start with. You know, like I was watching something today. You know, there's a story there written that Randy Orton, you know, two sons of legendary wrestlers, and Randy Orton stayed with WWE, had all the championships. Cody's got fuck all, so he kind of comes in and plays that off against them. You know what I mean? And there's a ready made story there, isn't there?
I'm just looking because I just typed in Cody Rhodes into Twitter, and every personal story about Cody Rhodes. This is Joe Henry's wife. I was struggling in 2018. Cody pulled my aside, told me maybe Ring of Honor should be interested, and he put in a good word. I will always be grateful for that. Cody Rhodes, I met him a couple of times. Done TNA with him. I've probably taken this before. Met him at a show in New Jersey, and it was maybe about his second indie booking after he had left WWE. I'm sure he wrestled Kurt, then he wrestled Drew, then he done a thing in New Jersey. And at the end of the night, he got all the boys in the locker room to come together, and he got a bottle of whiskey out, and everybody taking a shot, and we all done a big cheers, and he was brand new, and I got talking to him, followed me on Twitter, kept in touch, was asking me about TNA, how I found it and all the rest of it. And then the first day he came, I took him run. Him and Brandy took him on the Impact Zone and stuff like that. He kind of rubbed foot the ring way a wee bit because he went round to the commentary desk during the day and was putting his feet up and all that. And he's kind of, he's haunting his seat, like, ah. And I think it rubbed a few boys that had been there for quite a number of years. Like, who's that fucking just walking in? But he couldn't have been any nicer to me. But then I think about a year ago, I looked on Twitter and saw that he'd unfollow me, so fuck him.
Fuck him.
Followed me.
Fuck him. So I'll be interested to see what happens there and who he takes on at WrestleMania. Before that, he might turn up at the Elimination Chamber this weekend. Who knows? ICW, Square Go. We've got to be big up to the Square Go this weekend. Grado, can I ask a question?
Yes, you can ask me a question.
While we hear the music playing, life is a mystery.
I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't think so. Oh. I don't think so. I would love to do it. I'd love to do it. And I have spoke to, God, no, I feel like Cody Rhodes here. Well, I spoke to some guys at the office a couple of days ago. No, I actually did.
Yeah.
It came up. But I think it's too soon for me anyway as I sit here. I mean, I've just started. I know I've told you before. You know that I'm gluten-free.
You said this to me yesterday. I came out as gluten-free.
2014.
Yes.
But I always feel as if I talk about this all the time, but it was a kind of major step today.
Right, okay, what did you do today?
Well, just for years, I've always disguised my...
You've Imodium.
Yes.
Yes, you've Imodium.
And I need to stop taking that. I've been told to stop taking that.
Right.
So everything's good. You know, if I eat a roll in the morning, by 11, man, I'm crab it. I want to punch folk and I want to fall asleep. So I've now got a gluten-free plan. Fletch, you know Fletch?
Yes.
The guy that paid for Scott Arfield, or at least we hoffed in for Scott Arfield's night a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. His missus, she's a nutritionist.
Ooh.
And so she's got me doing gluten-free this. She's got my meal. She's got my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's now, what, it's now 8 p.m. on the first date, and I've not had one bit a week, and I'm feeling bright, and I'm feeling a new man. So hopefully I can kick on. Hopefully I can kick on, John.
Well,
I'll let you know how I'm going. If there's anybody else that has any kind of irritable bowel syndrome symptoms, let me know what the day first off, because I tried the breeding, it was bogging.
The best one I can listen.
Are you there?
My wife's pretty much gluten free. See the range of gluten free stuff you can get now, Grady. You get go to the freezer section, you'll get gluten free pizzas, you get all the gluten free stuff in the freezer. The gluten free, you get all the chocolate, all that sort of stuff. Well, chocolate's not really gluten, but it's fine, and you just got to look for it.
It's a pain in the ass. I remember ordering a pizza one night with Abyss, and he was on the phone, and this is when I had just kind of started doing gluten free again, and I'm going. And he's going, hey, can I get a deep dish Chicago, blah, 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 extra pepperoni? And I'm going, get me a gluten-free. He's going, dude, what the fuck's gluten-free? Hey, can I get what the fuck is it? A gluten-free, but it pisses everybody off.
It does. Well, you're all right. You're not.
So I work with a vegan every day, and he fucking annoys me with his vegan part every day.
Just don't make a thing of it, Grado. You'll be fine.
Keep it to myself.
Keep it yourself. But yeah, ICW Square Go this weekend. Tickets still available. And I've got to say thanks to ICW and Mark and Thomas over at ICW. We're piling on with this match against the Lord Provost of Glasgow on the 3rd of March, and they've been a great help. We've got a great card together. Tickets will be going on sale for that very, very soon. So keep an eye on my Twitter, at Producer Mac, and the Wrestling Daft Twitter, and we'll put it all up there. You plug your thing as well, yeah. Sorry.
www.pavilionthetre.co.uk.
Tickets are on sale.
Tickets are on sale. They were on sale last Friday. Dane Well sold a couple of hundred already. So we're doing well with that. Mm-hmm. We're doing well. It's a lot of the panel crowd. And that's what I was going to say to you. Kind of, I think a lot of maybe listeners to the podcast might have reservations about going to a show like this because it is a family show. But we have a lot of fun. And I've been speaking to some wrestlers that are signed to contracts and stuff like that, if they're able to maybe perform on it. So hopefully I'll have news on that next couple of weeks as well. Guys that can maybe compete on the show.
Have you got, is the card starting to take shape then?
Absolutely not.
Right, okay, brilliant. But all we know is Grado will be there. Is this going to be the big comeback?
This is the big comeback.
Right, okay, so get your tickets for
gluten
that.
Free
right
Grado.
Gluten free Grado, that's your new gimmick, I love that. Right, let's see what the punters are saying, as Rab would say. Right, okay, we've been posted a picture. Obviously this makes great podcast. You'll be able to see this in the video version, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. A generic handle on Twitter has posted, here is a photo of the Undertaker with his granny. I'm sure you can imagine how he greeted her.
How did somebody get a photo of the Undertaker and their granny?
There you go.
I mean, have you got any pictures with your gran?
I have got pictures of my gran.
I don't think I've got any pictures with my gran.
You know, my gran's still kicking about. She's 89 now.
Who the hell has took that picture and scanned it and put... Is this what he's been doing in his retirement?
No, this is like an old picture. This is a real old picture.
Aye, it's an old picture, right? But when did it come out? He's obviously been up his loft.
He's been up his loft.
In his retirement, got... Right, scan that. Who is his wife's name again? Michelle McCool? Is it Michelle McCool?
Aye.
Scan that. Here, Shell. Scan that. It's funny. Like in his wee granny, that's nice, isn't it?
But how would the Undertaker greet his granny?
Oh, I think we all know.
Go on then.
Hello, granny.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Hey, by the way, I just want to know, I don't want to really bury my gran here. Well, she is already buried. However,
this is where you weren't your wrestling at your granny's.
I did, but and I broke all her beds.
Yeah.
I wrestled in her tights. We all know the stories.
Yeah.
But she never was. I mean, I remember when I told her I first started wrestling training, she says to me, "You're too stout to be a wrestler."
Did she ever get to see you in the ring?
No, actually. That's a shame.
Nah. Nice. Nah.
I'm sure she died. For some reason, I kind of synchronised her death with Nikita Jelovic either leaving Rangers. or him scoring a goal.
There's anyway. Always something Rangers that come. You always relate something Rangers in your life, Grado. Right, Mark says, "Great podcast, lads. Your man is a tad minced right in this, smiley face. But I've been listening for the past month or two after patching the wrestling for 15 years, now watching old 90s noughties Raw and Smackdowns, and listening to this has been somehow keep up the good work." That's what we like to hear, isn't it?
That is, because I like that. I like people that come on and start listening to the show, and they might know I've watched
this. They'll be a lapsed fan. There's that boy off the two doors down. There's that boy off Burniston talking about wrestling, and then they come on and they listen to it and they enjoy it. Right, Brad says, "On the subject of betting and wrestling, been talking about this the last couple of weeks, I can tell you that almost lost a fortune because of wrestling bets. I was sitting having a couple of cans once, and it was on Paddy Power. Didn't even know you could bet on the wrestling." Not a lot of people do. The match was Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton for the WWE title. Randy was 9-1, and if Paddy Power had let me, I would have put 500 quid on it. Thank fuck they only let you whack a tenner on it, because I would have lost the full thing. Fuck Jinder Mahal.
By the way, you see, just carrying on for last week, I got in touch with Andy. What the hell she saying? I got in touch with Red Lightning. And he told me that there was an out-and-out bet on McBookie.
Well, we talked about this, yeah, for the...
For Team Florence versus Team Hempel.
Oh,
and it was only up for a couple of hours. I want to see if he said anything else about it. But
did Andy manage to get some money on it?
I don't think we did. Wait till we see, all right. The odds, right, obviously Team Hempel went over, is that right? Was that true? The odds were 47. And he says, "I reckon he patched it because somebody had put a big bet on it." Well, that's interesting.
Oh, right.
I think they were also a sponsor of the show, so that could have been a sort of like add-on. Like,
right.
I didn't know maybe he had sponsored it. But then he said they also heard that Willie Hill a couple of years ago in Socky Hill Street, they were offering odds on the Square Go.
Oh, really?
If you had went in and asked about it.
Oh, right.
It's bad, isn't it?
Listen, if you are going to Square Go this weekend, if there's a bookies in the vicinity of SWG3, go and have a go at it. See if you can get some money on the Square Go this weekend. I've heard who's going at number one.
Oh, you know what? Is it announced? Yeah.
It's not been announced, but I heard today who's going at number one. I'm speaking to someone.
Okay.
It should be interesting. I wonder if he'll do an Iron Man. We'll wait and see. More stuff coming in. Thanks to Andy for pointing out Brock's impression of Stone Cold Steve Austin on the Pat McAfee podcast. It is completely on point. Have you seen this, Grado?
No.
Let me show you that. Brock Lesnar's impression of Stone Cold is pretty bang on. Like, let me show you this.
Let's see.
Mule deer, Lion. White tail,
Lion.
Black bear,
Lion.
Austin 316.
Lion.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah!
How about a couple beers?
What?
How about you?
What?
And you?
What?
Black bear. Yeah, black bear up there.
They got weasels.
What?
Mink.
What?
Coyotes.
What?
Pretty good, isn't it? Good.
So is that his own podcast? That's no WWE?
No, that's Pat McAfee's own podcast, yeah.
All right, that's interesting.
I know. It's interesting. It is. It's good. And at this point, we wish we had Rab here, because this is a possible basketball daft stroke wrestling daft crossover. As Shaq calls out The Rock live on the telly.
No, can you tell us when the show premieres?
The show premieres.
It doesn't tomorrow. Matter when the show tomorrow. Premieres.
Oh, oh, very nice.
Big Shaq calling out The Rock.
Rock, what about The Rock? What about The Rock
did you see him at the Super Bowl?
Aye, I did, man. Sometimes I see The Rock and I think, man, like, I'm like, oh, he's not as cool as what he was, but he was cool on Sunday night. And I did like to see, I did appreciate somebody tweeting him saying, oh, man, all the wrestling fans kind of like side. When he went in the millions and millions, you didn't notice that.
He waited.
But he never done it with the fans.
I know.
So somebody pulled him up on Twitter and he said, "Don't worry about it. That was just a wee Easter egg for all the wrestling fans." He says, "But you will hear the millions with a pause, millions coming soon." So,
oh, that's
hey, my favorite. Rock Stone Cold, mate. Rock Stone Cold. What? Shaq, special guest referee.
There you go.
Brock Lesnar, the timekeeper.
My favourite bit about The Rock and the Super Bowl, I've seen some tweets doing the rounds that there's a lot of suggestions, Gradle, for the Scottish Cup final, if it's Rangers and Celtic, that you should go out and do something very similar to The Rock.
I've seen a lot of tweets I go up with that. Thanks very much. I put a wee smile on my face. So Can you imagine me doing that?
It would be amazing. So the SFA, are you? You're like, you saw the Super Bowl now, right? I want the wrestling daft audience, get onto the SFA right now and let's start the campaign for Gradle to do the Scottish Cup final like The Rock did. And, you know, it would be amazing. It would be amazing. And the green and white half.
Can you imagine the shot I'd cop for that, by the way? Could you imagine that?
Aye. But please, wrestling daft listeners, get onto the SFA. They're on Twitter. Tweet them and let's start the campaign for Gradle to do what The Rock did, but at the Scottish Cup final.
Very, very easy to communicate with SFA. And I did appreciate The Rock paying tribute to Arbroath with his colours on Sunday night as well. Good to see that he was. Do you notice he was all decked out in the Lichties gear?
He's a big fan of the Lichties. Big fan of Ricky Little, the cat.
Yes,
lots of love, Gradle, coming in this week for Malcolm.
I know it, man. I swear to God, I was pissing myself out last week.
If you missed last week's run-in, Gradle's joiner friend, Malcolm, who's made some for Gradle's pub at the bottom of his garden, Malcolm just decided to put on the headset and take over Gradle's role on the podcast, and he had lots of chat, so lots of love for Malcolm. Karate Warrior 2 described it as fire, while Martin Endor says Malcolm equals money. Great show this week. I'm checking out the Fear Saga. Malcolm loved this book called The Fear Saga. Martin says, see folk talking about what they like? That's magic to me. It's like ambrosia for the ears.
I get what you mean. See, when somebody's passionate about something, they talk what they like. I totally agree. I had no idea what Malcolm said. I just sat there and I was just like, you look like him.
He just told us about how he loved listening to Harry Potter while he was putting the joiner. He was telling us about the books he liked. He wasn't a fan of Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is a dick. When he played Jack Reacher, was not a fan of him playing Jack Reacher. I can tell you that much. Malcolm was not happy at all. Off the back of Malcolm, basically, Davey, who was on a run-in, who was just sitting there going, what the fuck is this? Davey got compared to but Malcolm said, you look a bit like Josh Groban. So a suggestion has been made by Brian on our Discord, if you want to get involved in the chat near patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. He said, for a Patreon-only feature, could we get Malcolm to basically come on every week and we show him pictures of our listeners and then Malcolm says, what celebrity they look like? Could we have that as a Patreon-only feature?
I can send a text to Malcolm right now.
Right,
I can get that arranged. We need to get him involved. Maybe when we do a live show.
Yes, absolutely. Malcolm, we'll get Malcolm on with us. And talking of Davey, who was on the run, you know how he worked for Amazon?
That's right.
Right, now Malcolm messaged this fire thing, this Fear Saga, which is his favourite book, and he wants to see it get made into a TV show or a film, right? So Davey's pulled the strings at Amazon, and he messaged Jeff Bezos a request about getting the Fear Saga made. And he said, if this doesn't get it made, I have no idea what I may, what will. So he's messaged Dave, Jeff Bezos saying, at Jeff Bezos, my new mate Malcolm has his fingers crossed that someone picks up the Fear Saga by Stephen Moss. Favour for an Amazonian.
So my new mate Malcolm.
Yep, yeah, we might have started the ball rolling in that for Malcolm, so fingers crossed. And finally, Jason sends in this question. In fact, do you know what? I'm going to leave Jason's question to next week because it's one of those ones that needs Rab to do the accent.
Right,
so,
okay.
And Jason's actually requested an accent for which to do it in. So we'll leave Jason's question to next week. But if you want to get in touch with any of that stuff, please do that right now on Twitter, Wrestling Daft, on Insta, Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or you can drop us an email the old-fashioned way. Do that at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. So every week on the show, we separate the Stardust from the Cody Rhodes as we bury it and put over stuff from the wrestling. Grado, yeah, we talked a fair amount about wrestling there at the start. Anything you like to bury or put over from this?
Nah, none.
I would like to put over ICW. I said it at the start of the program for all the help they've done with this Lord Cash for Kids show, so they've been great with that, so thank you guys for doing it. And also, Keith Lee, AEW, loving it. That, yeah, I don't know if, Grado, you saw the toss.
I saw the Beal across the ring, that was cool. I want to bury Mickey Finglydine, the wee old referee. That was sad.
Aye, sad times. All some of the greats just passing away now, I don't know. But yeah, let's move on to what the listeners are saying. Jimmy, burying Cody after all his mourning and himself burying WWE, it's looking like he's headed back there. Yeah, I get that, because Cody, you know, he did the whole throne thing with Triple H, and then they're always having wee barbs at WWE over at AEW, and that's him going back and, I guess, taking the money. If it is happening, which looks like it is, isn't it?
But this, at the end of the day, is it a factor? Punk's there, Danielson's there, nobody's really given a fuck what Cody's doing on it. Like, the stuff that's been on telly has been absolutely slaughtered online, and I don't know much about it. I watched a promo a couple of weeks ago, didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
So is it? Or is it went, well, now's the time, this is the right time, there's nobody in WWE right now that's setting a light afire, whatever you say, setting the heather alight, whatever.
Yeah.
Is this his chance now to go there and become a star?
Well, that's it. You know, the thing is, it's like he's been shot himself in the foot almost, like, because he set up the company, him and Jericho, and then the two of them have kind of, with the growing talent that's coming into the pool now, it's like they're getting swallowed up a wee bit, if you know what I mean. So Punk's in there, Danielson's in there, Keith Lee's just joined, Adam Cole's just come over, you've got Rusev, and suddenly they're dropping, their kind of importance in the company's kind of dropping down, isn't it?
Aye, you're bang on.
He's taking the money now, isn't he? And why not? If he can, he can. So Jimmy's putting over Tony Khan for letting him go and no giving into his pish, says Jimmy. Luke's putting over what looks like the first jump from AEW to the Fed. Who else do you see making that jump?
I think eventually Jericho, if he keeps himself
from getting Jericho go back?
I think one day he will. I mean, he done the network stuff, and I can imagine there's no real kind of issues between WWE.
I'm sure they'll take him back, but I mean, Jericho can't have many years left in the tank now, do you think?
But the thing is, it's not about who's going to return. You're excited now for years to come, whenever that time, and it will happen.
An MGF, when like a Darby Allin, Jungle Boy,
that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Andy, bury the Daft Raw segments, after, and put over Lesnar's current run and also his appearance on Pat McAfee's podcast, played that at the start of the show. Comes across as a cool guy and actually said he loves the business right now. Must listen to that, Pat McAfee.
Aye.
I liked that when he did the Stone Cold podcast, Brock Lesnar. Always just think he just doesn't give a fuck and he just comes over as just genuine, doesn't he?
Aye. He only cared about pulling up and getting paid, but now it looks like he's getting told right in.
Ah, exactly. Ant says put over Hook, going to be absolute star, yeah. And Jay White showing up at AEW as well. That was a big surprise as well. There was all sorts of rumours that basically, because Tony Khan had put out on Twitter about the Forbidden Door and stuff, that he went, oh shit, well, Keith Lee's not really coming through the Forbidden Door. So he went and booked Jay White, but I don't know how much truth there is in that.
Oh, really? Is a sort of kind of emergency backup?
Aye, it was almost like that. But Jay White, obviously, they might, the old kind of Bullet Club chat will be happening in AEW, so that'll be interesting.
I want to put our Hook's dad Taz for his commentary. There was something popped up on AEW Dark. There was a match, and there was a couple of botches. And instead of them trying to like they just piss themselves. Have you saw the clip?
I'm not.
Funny, man. Taz and Excalibur are just going, what the fuck was that? It's hilarious. It seems as if they've maybe went, look, we're not editing stuff like this anymore. If yous go in there and make fuck an else, Taz is going to get tore in.
Oh, yeah. What's your biggest botch in the ring?
Oh, do you know what? I'm surprised that none of them. I could be wrong, and somebody will point out, but I only ever remember being in a couple of botchamanias, and one of them was no moving out the road to somebody getting choke slammed in the ring, and basically they get choke slammed onto my head because I never rolled out the road. But there's been plenty. I mean, just watched that Abyss match at Bound for Glory. I'm sure that was probably in the botchamania that week.
Oh, yeah. We need to mention that. We did promise a few weeks ago, a watch along. We're going to start that next week when Rab's back. We thought we'd make start it this week or the week before, but then we ran out of time the week before. Rab's not here this week. So the watch along is we're going to watch the Monsters Ball match with Abyss and Grado. We're going to do that next week on the podcast. Sorry, continue, Grado.
And then also what do you call that move, man? Is it an electric chair or something like that? I done it to Jackie Polo in Aberdeen, and I had them up in my shoulders, and as I was trying to get up for my shoulders, my fucking knees combusted, and my arse went out the middle rope, and he went out, and we all both kind of fell out the ring, and it was brutal. But they managed to kind of edit it all right. But there's been plenty all the years. Thankfully, a lot of them weren't on camera.
Yeah, you ever had you fucked up, chanted at you?
No, do you know what? I haven't.
Well, I don't think I have.
Because I think because sometimes, you know, I do the. I used to back in the day, we'd do like the Undertaker walk along the rope stuff and do the kind of. Yeah.
Have you done the Undertaker walk?
I would get so far along then.
Oh, yeah, you did the shit.
Was I would take the fucking bump onto my balls and stuff like that.
I think I've seen you
so
do that.
So a lot of folk, if I messed up, they would go, hey, he's good at doing that. He meant that. I also remember doing it, trying to do the Terminator. Ken feel like one side of the rink and the other.
Aye.
And then Ken just like getting like a quarter of the way.
<You know? laughs> Love it. Ant says, Buddy, if true, Cody leaving AEW. Kev, put over the Street Profits, by far my favourite tag team at the moment. They are a good team. Angelo Dawkins in that team, Grado. I don't know. Montez Ford is a complete star, and I think he'll go on to be a world champion at one point, but I think Angelo Dawkins gets completely overshadowed on that team. He's a great hot tag.
I don't really know too much about Street Profits. I know that we're in the UK last week, where they know promoting.
Oh, were they? We're doing some
promotion.
Put over Bobby Lashley. He's brilliant. That's a simple, nice put over from Ant there. Gary, put over the Rock at Super Bowl. The man still has mad skills on the mic. I'll do a run-in. How much do you pay? Well, don't pay anything. You actually pay us for doing the run-in, guy. That's how it works. You get in Patreon and get involved there. Rico, put over, even it's a buddy for some, Cody parting ways with AEW. Quality wrestler with a lot left in the tank, hopefully, and still has a lot to offer in wrestling. The roster has gotten a bit too big for all the top stars to stay now. What I was saying, and a bit of change might suit everyone involved in him leaving. I wonder if a return to WWE is next. Would like to see him as he is now, just going toe-to-toe with Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins. That would be a good matchup, Cody and Seth. Buddy Goldberg, man, he's just shite. Rab would have a lot to say about that if he was on here.
Well, I wouldn't know, but I think he's pushing his luck now, old Bill.
Oh, Bill's pushing it now. You see what happens at Elimination Chamber. They won't have him go over Roman Reigns, surely God. Emily's not so much budding it, but shocked at Cody and Brandy leaving AEW. Always been a fan of them, no matter what kind of things were being said about them. Best luck to them, regardless of what they do next. And put over Lesnar on the Pat McAfee podcast. Worth a listen. Funny guy. Definitely checking that out now. Stephen, put over Keith Lee's AEW debut, Hangman versus Archer, was a surprisingly good match. I didn't think there'd be much. I think it's like an in-between program for Hangman. But it was a really decent match. The Women's Gauntlet match from Raw, ICW Square card as well. Buddy Nakamura's IC title run, one of the worst ever. I could not agree more with you. He's had the IC title since like September. I think he's defended it about twice. Right. The IC title's just been left at the fucking wayside.
You never hear about it, don't you?
No. You never hear about it these days. And Damien says, I want to put over Wrestling Daft. That's very nice, because it's the best podcasting about, and bury myself for watching fuck all wrestling this week. It's okay.
Join the club.
Woo! It's now time to talk about one of our sponsors here on Wrestling Daft. We've talked about them a lot, but he's got to talk about them again. Tell them about it, Grado.
Well, we're always banging on about how important it is to have a VPN on your computer, on your device. You need your online privacy protected, but you need to choose a VPN that you trust, and that it's equally important that you choose the right VPN. Now, I can say with full confidence that ExpressVPN is the best VPN on the market. And here's why, right? Well, it's the number one. It doesn't log your activity online. There's loads of cheap or free VPNs out there, and they make their money by selling your data to the advertisers, but ExpressVPN, they don't do that. They've developed a technology, it's a trusted server, and that makes their VPN servers basically incapable of storing any of your data at all. And reason number two, the speed. ExpressVPN, it uses Lightweight. Now, you might ask what Lightweight is. Well, it's a brand new VPN protocol, and I've made it just especially. They've engineered it to make the user speeds faster than ever. I've tried all your VPNs, all the free ones, and they're all shite. This one doesn't slow my connection. ExpressVPN, it's always blazing fast, and it lets me stream all the videos I want in HD quality, and there's zero, absolutely zero buffering, and I'm not joking. Last thing is, ExpressVPN, it's how easy it is to use. I'll tell you, John, you don't need any technical skills to get it up. Just fire up the app, tap one button, and that's you connected. That's it. Even your granny or your granddad could do it, and that's not just me saying this. Business Insider, big famous company, The Verge, great magazine, all the rest of it, all the major tech journals, they're all rating ExpressVPN as the number one rated VPN in the world. So protect yourself. Use the link that I'm going to tell you right now, expressvpn.com/wrestling. Go there the day, get free extra 3 months for nothing on your 1 year package. That's expressvpn.com, expressvpn.com/wrestling. Visit there and you'll learn more.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Right, today in the run-in, folks, it's a wee bit different. I spoke about it last week on the podcast that Cheryl, who is one of my agents at Vivian Clore, she was talking away to me, and she was basically saying, by the way, did you know that my husband worked for Vince McMahon for 10 years? And I says, no, but tell me about it right now. And she did tell me a wee bit about it. I'm sure I'm probably going to get his title wrong, but it's something about head international marketing. He travelled the world with the McMahons and stuff like that. I don't know his exact title, but we'll find out. But he's on the Zoom right now. He's coming on. He's seems like a very... What would you say, John?
I'm intrigued. I can't
very, very intrigued. We've got him on the line now. It's some Mr. Dominic Hayes. Dominic!
There we are. Hang on, just turn on my video.
There we go. Tied it. Now you're talking.
There it is. There
Dominic,
we go.
Dominic! How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Grado. How are you?
Oh, I'm top of the world. I couldn't be better. Listen, thanks for taking the time to do this. We are mega, mega interested by this, aren't we, John?
Yeah, I'm absolutely intrigued. Dominic, Grado's just kind of briefly told me you were involved with the WWE, like, worldwide. What was your actual title and what did you do there?
Well, so I was, by the time I left, I was there for over 10 years. I was Senior Vice President and Managing Director, WWE International Limited.
So that wasn't just because I think my first thought when I spoke to your wife was, who's lovely by the way, she's brilliant. I kind of got the feel. I've got to say that I thought it was just UK, but were you based?
No, everywhere. Wow. Everywhere outside of North America.
Oh, wow. So explain to me, Dominic, what does a senior vice president of WWE do?
Well, there are lots of different senior vice presidents at WWE, I guess.
Hey, okay.
And then there's even some executive vice presidents, and then there's just one president.
It's the American. It's almost the American system.
It's very American. Yeah. So My job was, I mean, I was there a long time, pretty almost 11 years. Initially, I was employee number one in the UK office. So the UK office was put there to handle all of international sort of media rights distribution initially. So I basically, employee number one, me and my boss, who was based in the States at the time, but then came over, basically traveled the world selling WWE programming to broadcasters all over the world. So, you know, be it in Malaysia, Singapore, China, Japan, Australia, Brazil, France, you know, basically the whole world. I think in the 10 plus years I was there, I clocked up about a million air miles. And, you know, it was, spent a lot of time away, probably about 100 days a year away from the UK. Basically meeting, you know, broadcasters everywhere to try and get the distribution to where it got to, which was it was great fun, frankly. A really, really good time. I was treated brilliantly by the company. By the time I left, I was overseeing all of the international business. So from not just TV distribution, but live events, licensing and merchandising, digital, the full gamut. So yeah, full gamut of stuff.
So you know what interests me then? So you were there for 2002 and you worked there for 10 years. When was like the idea for the WWE network? Was that?
That was coming in just as I was departing.
Oh, wow.
So, right. You know, we'd done a lot of work on it, done a lot of internal advisory stuff on it, because the challenge with something like the WWE Network is you've got all this great international distribution and you're getting a lot of cash out of your international broadcasters. If you launch a network, you want to make sure you're protecting that revenue, because you can't necessarily guarantee that revenue would be replaced by the network revenue. So it was really about trying to balance which markets, the advisory, and which markets you should really go full bore in, or where maybe you should partner with a broadcaster, etc.
I mean, it was a big decision to make. Like you say, you've got that fine balance that, you know, if you have the network, well then, you know, the distributors, the TV stations drop away. And then obviously the Peacock deal came along then as well. I'm intrigued, and I don't know if you like to speak money, Dominic, but obviously sporting has, you know, a value, and wrestling has a value. What sort of value were you selling it at? I mean, because obviously you would probably have dealt with Sky a lot in the UK, I'm guessing. But what?
Yeah, Sky.
How much does some like the WWE sell for?
Well, we again, I left 10 plus years ago, so I'm just trying to work out what I'm allowed to say and not allowed to say. I still worry, you know, Vince, you know, might get me. No, in fairness, I love Vince.
He listens to this podcast every week.
He's a big fan.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
He's a big fan. I mean, do you still keep in touch with
sure
him?
Is. Yeah, I do. I do, yeah. I mean, I reported into him. When I resigned, I did it over video conference to Vince. He was my line manager.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so, you need to, I mean, what is he like in terms of, like when you first met him, everybody, you know, there's all these stories about how he has 3 hours sleep, he's in the gym every day, he never switches off, he never takes holidays.
Yeah, all of the above. He's a huge character, huge personality.
Yeah.
And you know, when I remember first meeting him, I was pretty terrified, because obviously a lot of people have a lot of stories about him. But I've always found him fantastic, you know, always brilliant to deal with, treated me brilliantly in my time there. I think fortunately I was 3,000 miles away. So sometimes it was, it's that thing, isn't it, of when you're very close to people, they get fed up with you much more quickly. So being 3,000 miles away, he didn't get fed up with me maybe as quickly as he would have done if I was based in Stamford, Connecticut. I've still got a good relationship with him. You know, we have an exchange of texts on a regular basis. You know, wish him happy Thanksgiving, etc., all the time. You know, so we're sort of good.
Does he use emojis?
No. I don't think so. Let me check.
I mean, is it iMessage? Is it WhatsApp? This is completely pathetic. But
yeah, no, it is. I mean, it's not WhatsApp. It's text.
Oh, yeah. It's not voice notes from Vince, I don't think. I don't get the voice notes from Vince.
Yeah. Hold on. I might see the last text he sent. This is good.
He said, hold on.
Just snooping about here, man.
No, I just wished him a Happy New Year. And he said, thanks.
He didn't even wish you a Happy New Year back.
No, he did. He meant, no, he did.
All right,
okay. No, he did.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, he did. Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. That's so good, man.
You've obviously then, I'm presuming then, Dominic, you've been in the negotiating room with Vince when it's come to these deals. You've been in the same room where you've been making negotiations. What's he like as a businessman in that side? We see him from the wrestling side. We see this on-screen character. But as a businessman, he's lauded as a businessman. What's he like in that room?
Yeah, well, interestingly, so because we were international, right? So we weren't doing the domestic TV deal, which is where every, you know, that's the really the sort of, if you like, the mothership of the business is how they nail that domestic TV deal. So what we would do is we would take that content that's created, and then we would distribute that worldwide. So he tended not to be in the decision room for those, but what he would be, you know, when we did the deals, he'd have sign off, and he'd always, you know, he'd interrogate the deals, always ask the questions, always very, very prescient, you know, straight to it, understood, saw the issues straight away, and, you know, would listen to sort of what we thought. And actually what I really appreciated about working with him and with Shane as well, was the fact that, you know, when we'd been doing it a long time, myself and my boss, and so we really understood the global broadcast environment, et cetera, et cetera. And so when we would give him an opinion, he would listen to it and take it on board and respect the experience and the knowledge, et cetera. So actually he let the experts be the experts, if you like. Mm-hmm. He would ask the questions, make sure you thought it through. But, you know, our job was to do this job for him. And once he trusted us to do it, he was, you know, once he asked the questions he felt he needed to ask, but was great at giving us autonomy to get going. So it was great. I mean, I loved working, you know, I had 10 brilliant years there. I say the only reason I left was because I had a young family at the time, and you know, when child number two had grabbing me by the leg, literally, as I was trying to leave the house to go to India, was that moment to go, okay, maybe I should think about this.
But I mean, it's interesting because in terms of wrestling, your background, did you get this job? Did you come into this kind of blind to what wrestling was? Were you a fan? Were you just a total businessman that was picked up on the?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, it's a good question. I'd the previous couple of years before that, I'd worked at the FA, basically doing marketing at the Football Association. And prior to that, I'd worked at Procter & Gamble selling soap powder and nappies. ultimately, you know, it was a very different sort of job, but I basically went into the agency that they had in the UK that handled their, you know, their marketing internationally, et cetera. And they realized quite quickly that actually it was a good place to do television distribution out of. So I started doing that TV distribution for WWE, working for an agency. And then they thought, actually, we should open a London office. And if we open that London office, actually, we have a base 5 hours ahead of us that's out there around the world selling. So it was, so I had no media rights distribution experience. I'd had sports experience and sales experience from P&G. And, I just sort of picked it up as I went. My boss was brilliant at the time, a guy called Andrew Whittaker. He was the consummate wrestling salesman. He was genuinely brilliant. And, it was fantastic.
But it's funny because I actually found an interview with you on YouTube, and you are very well. I'm telling you.
I know the one, yeah.
It's 106 views since 2013. I kind of get all that because that was
106, and they're all for my 12-year-old son. Every single one of them.
But you must have came in at a time. You went there in 2002. That must have been a big, because obviously there was the name change as well, which you kind of spoke about. But that must have been a bit of an eye opener for me to try and get.
Well,
that.
So I'd also, for that previous 18 months, I'd been working for the agency RDA, as I say. And I was actually in the High Court when they lost the case.
Wow!
Yeah. So I went to the High Court because that's it. It was in London that the case happened. Yeah.
Because
I was in. Yeah.
Because I remember for a couple of months before it was WWFE that was on Sky. Anyway, I'll let you continue your story. But
then we had the campaign, which was Get the F Out.
So you're there at the court. Are you the one that has to phone Vince and say, mate, you need to change the name?
That was well above my pay grade at the time.
What was the reaction? I mean, you were obviously in around that. What was the reaction within the company to losing that court case?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, you could probably go back and look at various press releases at the time. No one was happy. Let's put it that way. It was really, really. I think Vince went on record.
Apart from the pandas, were delighted. The pandas were delighted.
But we couldn't really understand why. In fairness, I did. I once had an interaction with a teacher from my old school. I went back to watch my little brother playing in a rugby match. He was there. He's much younger than me, and I bumped into an old English teacher and I said, you know, I'm working at WWF. And she thought, oh, really? That's really, you know, she was really proud, thought that was, my conservation work was second to none. And I had to say, no, it's not the standards. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, no, she was Miss Greenwood, yeah. I felt like she was really disappointed in me after that.
But, brilliant, honestly. Do you know what I noticed though, right? And I don't know if you had any dealings with us, but pardon. See now, in WWE, if they come over to the UK, they're on This Morning, they're on GMTV, they're on Sky Sports News. Did you find a difficulty to try and arrange stuff like that? Did you ever deal with that? Because I feel as if there wasn't as much as what there is now.
No, well, that was, I mean, ultimately, you know, it's all about, you've got to build the foundations. And yeah, go back to 2002 and getting that kind of presence was really difficult. Sky War is great. Sky were a great partner. You know, when we were working with them, because they realised that, you know, ultimately you had the broadcast product, but also you had the pay-per-view product. And the more effort they put into promoting across their platform, the higher number of pay-per-views there'd be, and the pay-per-view buys there'd be, and they would make more money. So they were brilliant like that. Getting it on other stuff was more difficult. You know, we'd had. You know, we'd work really hard to get interviews with the Sun and the Mirror and, you know, all the red tops largely. And then, you know, we would have to work really, you know, you'd end up with that back in the day. I remember having some rather quite obscure sort of interviews with various gaming magazines and all the rest of it. You just try to do whatever you could to get stuff sort of away. And there was a promo tour, I think, with Terry Runnels many moons ago, who I remember being in a hotel room with her in
Chelsea. Okay.
Literally, no, not like that. Although she did then sort of do a sleeper hold on at the head of our DVD and a licensee at the time. He was about 60. And he obviously thought it was gonna be fantastic. I mean, Terry Runnels grapple him. But as he nearly passed out as she had him around the neck. I think he realized that the error of his ways, bless him.
Amazing.
Yeah, no, that was quite good. But so we do, you know, you bring talent to town and you just try to line up as much as you can, you know, remember, you know, Rikishi in town. But then what would happen is you'd have those amazing moments when there was a really brilliant one, sort of maybe 2001, 2002. We had The Rock and Big Show doing a signing in HMV on Oxford Street. And that, wow. When, you know, that was.
That Beatlemania.
WrestleMania. it was unbelievable. Actually, that was properly. It was that moment. Okay, this is huge. And that was very early in my kind of time at WWE.
Yeah, because you were coming in off the back of the Attitude Era, and
Attitude Era had just launched, and it was all kind of it was amazing. Actually, you know, the sort of, because it was all very edgy, and you were sort of, there was a lot of times when you'd be sort of firefighting a little bit because it was so edgy.
Yeah.
But that was the whole point at the time, really sort of pushing the boundaries. And we had to do a lot of, because in some markets, you'd have a situation where what you can broadcast in the States is very different to what you can broadcast
in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can imagine.
So you'd have various points where you'd have to, you know, get the States to edit stuff. So we ended up 42 different edits of the programming.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, did you ever go back to sort of, the, you know, I guess Connecticut and Vince and sort of say, listen, if you want to grow internationally, you're going to have to rein it back a wee bit, you know?
Yeah, well, we did. I tended to have a slightly fractious relationship a little bit with some of the television production guys, because I was a pain in the ass for them, really.
Because
I was constantly saying, look, you can't do this in Japan. You can't do this in the Middle East. You can't do this in France. You know, and you would have varying sort of edits. And so they did. They, when they realized, oh, I've got to do a new edit for this, and we've got a new edit for that, they roll their eyes and think, you know. But, I mean, the interesting thing was, you know, they launched stuff, and then we would really, really crack into it to get it away overseas. And what we want, NXT is a prime example, because NXT is gangbusters now, right? It's going, you know, as a brand, it's quite, it is, because it's enabled WWE to really sort of branch out and develop new talent and to sort of create almost individual rosters in certain markets. If you go back to when that launched, and it was on air for probably about 6 months in the States, we went overseas and sold the hell out of it and ended up with a point where it was like we had sort of best part of 10 million quid under contract. And they decided they didn't want to do it anymore because basically they'd shoot basically the half hour before the start of the live event in
SmackDown,
then half an hour before Raw. So they would basically take the 2 half hours, so they'd film it just before that, you know, change the ring skirts, etc. And they said, yeah, we're gonna can that. And we said, well, no, actually, we got $10 million a year under contract.
Wow.
All you got to do is just carry on doing it. So there was a period of time where NXT didn't air in the States, but was airing overseas.
Really?
And now, so the only thing that kept it going was all our international TV deals. And lo and behold, it's now, a key part of development for the.
There you go. That is very interesting. You think they were just about to cut that off and then what it actually turned into in the next 10 years is amazing. Yeah. But you were obviously with the WWE for 10 years. You must have got exposed to some debauchery being with wrestlers for 10 years, did you know?
Dodge went very quiet at this point. Went very, very quiet.
There must be something slightly PG that you can say that you thought to myself, oh my God, you must have been in some situations where,
Yes, I was.
Vince doesn't like, honestly, I was only joking. Vince doesn't really want it, that's Dominic.
I had some very good times, interesting times around the world. So there are brilliant stories, but maybe not for public consumption.
Okay. Can you just tell, give us a nod, is your wife within earshot right now?
Yeah.
Right, okay, that's why we can't.
That is not what I meant. I didn't even.
No, I know you didn't mean that.
Oh, brilliant.
Well, let's rephrase it a different way. What was the highlight of your time there?
What was the best thing?
It was so surreal in many ways. It was brilliant. I mean, I had the best time. There were some hilarious moments. I did a promo tour with the Big Show in India. I did a few promo shows with Big Show.
Did you fly with him?
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't fly with him. I met him out there. Always get there first, check out the hotel for the talent and then meet him off the plane. And yeah. He needed two seats. I said the seat next to
him. Oh, I would imagine.
He seems like I've met the Big Show once, and he was a great laugh. He seems like a character.
He is. He's a very, very, very lovely man. We were doing this promo tour in India. We sort of had a real full-on morning of media public appearances. We're back to our hotel, and we said, look, have an hour off. Have a bit of a kip, just relax, and then we're back out again to do the next half of the day. And our rooms were next to each other. And so I went in, and I was like, that's full on morning. Suddenly I hear this sort of shout, fuck, oh my God, oh my God. And what is it? So out the door, around to his room, knock on the, what is it? Opens the door, look at this. And the toilet in his hotel room, was one of those ones that's attached to the wall. It hasn't got like a pedestal. It sticks out of the wall.
Right.
And obviously, he's a bigger than average dude.
Oh, no.
He was mid-dump. And it literally come off the wall as he was mid-dump.
Oh, what a sight that would have been.
Yeah. Well, and you couldn't flush it at that point. So... So what are we going to do? But it's like, well, we're going to have to get ready. You're going to have to go. So off we went. And so, well, we'll sort it out when we get back.
Just leave it.
Yeah. So just leave it. We'll worry about it later. And so we went out for the afternoon, did all the stuff in the afternoon, and then got back to the hotel about sort of six, sort of another little break before the evening. Back to the hotel room. Perfect. Like nothing had happened. Nothing to see here. Literally, oh, wow. The toilet was back on the wall. It had been flushed. perfect. And no one ever mentioned it.
I can only imagine. I don't want to. I know it's a family show. No. Imagine the size of the Big Show's dumps.
I can only imagine, man.
I can only imagine. Oh, God.
Imagine.
The bugger that had to clean that.
Yeah.
I know. Poor guy.
Brilliant testing, yeah.
Dom, honestly, it's been great to talk to you. I don't want to keep you too long, but I want to know, would you ever get involved in wrestling again?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had a brilliant time.
What do you make at AEW?
It's doing well, isn't it? It's doing very well.
I think it is. Well. Yeah. Dom knows more about it than me, but it's
funny because I mean, Impact.
Do you know the Cans?
I don't really. I know some of the Impact guys, but I don't know the AEW guys. And it's interesting because you know, historically, always there's been WWE up there, and then there's been normally one challenger, if you like, be it Impact, be it AEW, WCW as was, etc. But now it feels there's a couple that are knocking on the door, and actually, it's quite good for the talent because they've got a couple of places to go. You know, because as we know, it's cyclical. Talent will come and go from WWE, and depending on storyline, etc. So it's great they've got places to go and well-produced content. That's the good thing about both AEW and Impact is both of them are really, really well-produced. It's not like WWE's up here and there, sort of distant cousins of it. It's really well-produced stuff. So I think, the more of the genres out there, the better it is, I think, all round, and the better it is for talent particularly.
Well, I tell you what, see, I'm just trying to think. The mid-2000s, I'd probably say the early 2012 to 2015, when TNA started coming to the UK, they done no too bad. Getting into, you know, the your likes of your This Mornings and stuff like that, and promoting it. Did Vince ever wind him up? Did that bother him any? Did he see his competition, and especially when Hulk was there and stuff like that?
I think you always, competition's always competition, right? And I always felt that they thrived on it. You know, a lot of people look back on the best ever time within WWE was sort of the Tanks on the Lawn stuff, you know, when Raw is War, Monday Night War and all that, you know, that amazing stuff. And it really created some brilliant stories. And, you know, you got the screw job, and you got all that stuff, which really is now part of wrestling folklore. That had it not been for the fact there was a competitive set going on, we wouldn't have sort of been as edgy as it was. And I think the competition's always pushed Vince and actually everybody else to sort of continue to sort of push the boundaries and develop, you know, more entertaining and better product. So I think, actually they sort of relished it. I think they get a bit annoyed from time to time, but, you know, there's no doubt now that WWE is sort of the preeminent brand in the market. And, you know, they've gone on leaps and bounds, and everyone else got quite a lot of catching up to do. But, you know, as long as they're continuing to push, it's good.
You're talking about your 12-year-old son. Is he into wrestling?
No, he's not at this point in time. I've not consciously pushed him towards it or away from it. He's just, he's into his rugby and his football at the moment. So maybe, you know, he sort of...
Because, how cool is that? What his dad done for all the years, going about selling WWE. How cool is that?
I know. Yeah, I've got one final question.
We say we'll only be 15 minutes, but honestly, and Cheryl's gone like that. He's worried in case he's no good, but this is generally one of the most interesting interviews we've had, and we've had everybody on. So,
I've got one final question for you, though, Dominic. Who's your favourite wrestler?
My favourite WWE superstar.
Sorry, I forgot. It's WWE.
That's right.
Remember, Vince isn't listening. You don't need to call them wrestlers now.
Big Show. One.
Big Show. Yeah.
William Regal, legend.
Ah.
Yeah.
Love nice. Regal. Not least, I mean, he's hilarious. And somehow I made his autobiography, Walking the Golden Mile.
Yeah,
I'm in it. Page 250.
did you go straight to the bibliography at the back and look for your name?
No, I'm not in the bibliography, sadly. It took he mentioned the fact we were out for curry. Yeah, it was.
That's funny.
Yeah. It was good. He's a good lad.
I've done the exact same when the Drew McIntyre autobiography came out. Went right to the G at the end.
Yeah, there you
went. Looked at the page I was on, read the sentence, and went, well, that's that done. That's a bit.
Haven't read the rest of it. Just know that bit.
Brilliant. Well, Dom, thanks so much for taking the time and speaking to his man. That
I hope
really...
to do it again sometime.
Listen, honestly, the listeners are going to love it. They're absolutely going to love it. So it'd be brilliant to speak to you maybe in a. Maybe next week.
thank you so much for coming on Wrestling Daft. We really appreciate it.
And please send my love to Cheryl. Thanks so much for sorting that out. Thanks so much, pal. Right, take care. Bye-bye.
You just made the list!
It is time for the list of Wrestling Daft. Now, making a list is like making love to a beautiful woman. You've got to take your time. It's got to be long. And most importantly, it needs to be sequential. That last bit doesn't really work. But anyway, this week we put up dream matches. We've put this up in the vote the last couple of weeks. And I thought this was going to be a surefire winner. But I lost out again for the third week running. And this week it went up against the best match stipulation, which won with 69% of the vote. If you want to vote, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. So, Rab's not here. So, Grado is going to do his top three match stipulations. At number three,
the Clockwork Orange House of Fun match.
Right, I'm not aware of this match. Right. How did that work?
This was Raven's creation. It was also called Raven's House of Fun, and it was basically used in TNA when Raven was like the main guy there between 2002, 2003, 2004, when he was in storylines with Jarrett and stuff like that. I don't know if he'd done it in Ring of Honor as well. He might have wrestled Punk in a Clockwork Orange House of Fun match as well. But weapons were able to be used. You could, the only way to win was basically you put your opponent through the table off Raven's perch, which was like a wee kind of scaffold build at the side of the building. But there you go, there's a wee different one for you. Try and catch a wee match with that. Love Raven. Clockwork Orange House of Fun match.
Number two.
Is the Steel Asylum cage match from that very first Impact head-to-head with Raw on, I'm sure it was January the 4th, 2010.
Right, okay.
Did you ever see that match?
I did not.
Right, and you need to watch it because they basically never fought it through because basically all the X Division wrestlers were put inside this big red steel cage, right? Try and Google it. Steel Asylum, John.
Right.
And the winner had to basically climb through a hole in the middle of the tap, which was about 15, 16, 17 feet high. Now, they obviously never had a wee show. They obviously never had a wee practice with this during the day because they ended up getting Homicide to go over. And if you watch it back, he's up there for about half an hour trying to get through. And in fact, I don't even know if he actually does get through. I remember just seeing that, watching it as a fan, January 4th, had the laptop up in my Sky, watching Raw, watching Impact, and I remember seeing that big red thing and thinking, oh, what's this going to be? And it was just hilarious.
Right, so that's number two. What's number one?
Can you guess what it is?
Ladder match. It's got a ladder match.
Monsters Ball.
Of course it is.
Monsters Ball. Apparently the contenders were all supposed to be locked in a room without light, no food or water for 24 hours before the match. I can assure you the two Monster Balls matches I did eat 24 hours before the match. I did a lot more than thinking eating, I can tell you that. I probably over it when I done the Bound for Glory, and you would think that that match would be a big scar in my memory, but even before then, Monsters Ball matches in the past, I'm sure they've done ones with Sabu and Jeff Hardy, and I always loved when he involved Janice. Do you remember who Janice was?
No.
Janice was his, you'll never, it might not come up, but it was a 4x4 that Jim Duggan with all the nails on it, and he called it Janice.
Oh, right, okay.
That was Janice.
So let me get, see, I was, you know, I wasn't a massive TNA guy, but so Monsters Ball, the whole stipulation is they weren't allowed to eat or drink before the match, and that was the stipulation.
And there's loads and loads of weapons.
No, right, okay. So that's a shit stipulation, wasn't
it? Oh, you can't eat! You better be fucking eating. You were disqualifying.
So you, how do you sell?
There's a little bucket of space traders, a bitch.
How do you sell that you've not eaten or drank?
How do you sell that? I don't know. The first times they done it, they probably done vignettes. I don't know how they done it, but that was my favourite.
No one's ever believing you've not eaten 24 hours, Grado. Right, let's get into the listener suggestions. Damien says, a Beat the Cop match or Iron Man match can be no bad, just depending on who's in it. Iron Man matches, I can take them.
Boring.
Boring.
No, I've never liked any of them.
Is it Angle? Angle? Who was Angle? Was Angle and Michaels did Iron Man?
I like the half an hour ones. The half an hour ones are no bad.
What Iron Man match am I thinking? Angle was involved in the Iron Man match. I'm sure that was really good.
He done a 30 minute Iron Man match with Shawn Michaels.
Yes, it was Michaels. It was Michaels. That was it.
Oh, but he done an Iron Man match on SmackDown with Lesnar. I didn't know that.
Oh,
right, there we go.
That was an
Iron Man match.
Langle's great, the Iron Man matches. Jakey says,
I always remember the 90 minute. Do you ever remember the you probably don't aware of this, the 90 minute Iron Man match between Chris Hero and CM Punk?
Never seen that.
Ah, that was in IW Mid South. Jesus, I'm sure it was 90 minute. Wait till we see. Aye, 90 plus minutes.
Wow.
Two out of three falls, and it went 90 minutes.
Wow.
It's on YouTube. Actually, I did watch that when I was a wee guy and I loved it.
Oh, really?
See that, aye.
Well, that's one worth checking out for everyone. Jakey says, no rope, barbed wire, classic.
Wow.
You've never done one like that, have you?
No, but I'm sure Justin and Drew done something like a barbed wire. They wrapped the barbed wire around the ropes, I'm sure.
When the barbed wire, like, what can I, is it plastic? How does the barbed wire, is it proper shoot barbed wire?
I don't know. It depends. I mean, it depends everywhere you go. I'm sure because there was barbed wire on a board that I went through in TNA, and I'm sure it was gimmicked.
Right. Okay. I've always been intrigued at how they do the barbed wire. Andy says 2 out of 3 falls. Stevie says fall counts anywhere in street fights are always great when done right. I like when it goes backstage and all that sort of stuff. But it needs to be done right. See street fights that end up just fighting in the ring.
I know what you mean, but like when it was back in the day with WWF, they'd go out and they'd boot and fucking smashing into fridges and getting on tractors backstage and all that. I loved
that. All that stuff's great.
I loved that when I was a Wayne, but maybe watching that back now, I'd maybe can think it was a lot of rubbish. But
I like that. Chris says favourite stipulation match in general Survivor Series matches back in the day when there wasn't 5-on-5 tag twice a week in Raw, but favourite stipulation match in particular was Edge versus Angle, Hair versus Hair. Probably the only stipulation match ever where the result hasn't even gone back. Yep, there you go. Mm-hmm. Ormicron Variant says the only one that is still always guaranteed to bang is a multi-man, multi-ladder match. Never seen a shit one. It's true. You never see a bad ladder match.
Well, GCW watched the ladder match for last week.
Apart from that one. Mark says, with the right build, nothing beats a Hell in the Cell.
Nah, Hell in the Cell got shite once they stopped taking bumps off it.
Aye.
Just wrestled inside the cell, but anyway.
Yeah, Paul says, was a big fan of 2000-2001 WCW, so anything on a pole and Judy Bagwell on a forklift, still doing better ratings than the present day shows, great times. KWGS says, can't beat the old style blue cord steel cage matches in WWF, WWE, and the double ring war games matches are great as well.
They love a cage match.
I've got big complaints about cage matches because, like, why would you climb over the cage when you can just go in through the door? I've never understood that stipulation. See a cage match, close the cage door and you can't open. Yeah, the only way you're getting out of the cage is going out over the top. This opening the door plather. See, if you're a wrestler, why would you bother climbing over the top?
I suppose I've done a cage match where, you know, if I go to the door, I'm struggling to get the thing fucking open. He's gonna attack me. But he's on my back. Whereas I wanted to go out. So you climb up, go the cage and slide down, drip it down.
Nah, I'm not having it. Change the rules of cage matches, that's what I'm saying. Just keep the cage door closed. The only way to get out of it, over the top. That's what I'm saying to it. Are you listening? Well, that's it for this week's edition of Wrestling Daft Grade. I've had a fair old good time, I have
yes, to say. Thanks to Dominic.
Dominic was excellent.
Aye, he was great. Really good show. Rab always misses interviews, but hopefully we're back next week. Yeah, and we'll be back to normal. But it's nice spending some time with you, John.
It's always great to spend time with you, Grado.
I can see you every day, man.
I know. Listen, if you want more content from us, you want to see the video version of this and see Dominic in the flesh, you can do that, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. There's bonus episodes up there. We really need to record that third episode of the Grado story. We've not done TNA yet, and I can't believe we haven't done that. We've got up to ICW winning the World Championship. We need to get back on that. The Discord chat is alive and well. Lots of great chat happening there with everyone. A lot of people slagging off the Young Bucks this week, saying they don't like the Young Bucks. I don't understand why.
Well, mate, I can't see it. And I honestly don't know what's happening in AEW and stuff like that. The tag teams and all that, that's not my scene, the Young Bucks, but Anyway, just continue discussing that way.
Get in the Discord by signing up to Patreon as well. Do it all at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Have you got a listen of the week, Grado?
Trying to think. What about Mark that put us over?
Mark that put us over. Listen, we always like getting put over on this podcast. So Mark that put us over, thank you for listening. You are our listener of the week. We'll get the belt on you. We've stopped doing the belt. I really need to bring back the listener belt of the week. We'll get that back on as well. So thank you very much for listening. Next week we'll definitely be doing the watch along. We have found the link. I've tried to put it on our YouTube channel, Grado, but could you have a word with TNA, because they keep saying this is blocked content.
Does it say that? I'm so glad that does say that.
I've tried so many ways of cutting it, editing it, and then trying uploading it, and it's just no for happening. So if
you don't get it on Vimeo or Dailymotion or something like that.
No, I've got, the only link I've been able to find is a Facebook link from a wrestling website. So we'll be using
the comments and all that.
Well, I've not looked at the comments. That's okay. You'll be all right. We won't look at the comments, Grado. We'll just watch the match, okay? So we'll do that next week in the company of Rab, who will be back on the show. In the meantime, if you want to buy Wrestling Daft merch, you could do that at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. We have many t-shirts available, and we keep all these false promises. We should get some more up there. I want a Hello Granny t-shirt at least up there. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Until next time, Grado.
It's yourself.
Audio Frontier.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.